Okay. Right. We've got our listening practicum today. Yay! It's our first practicum. I'm so excited for it. And we'll get to the practicum in a few minutes. But first, take a moment and just check in with yourself. How are you today? I find sometimes it takes, like there are days that I just forget to even check in with myself. How am I? So just take a moment, check in with yourself. How are you today? How are you feeling today? What's moving through you? Yeah, Linda's been running nonstop. Some days are like that, right? It's just good to notice how you feel no matter what. Tired. Yeah, I've noticed there's a lot of low energy the last couple of days. Good nonstop day. Yeah, some of the nonstop days are good. Yeah, tired. Well, wherever you are, you and however you're showing up, whether you've got more energy, whether you've got less energy, or whatever you're bringing, it is all welcome here. And I'm so excited to see all of you. So, a couple of housekeeping things before we jump in to our practicum. The first is that my heart sank when I heard about the technological fail on the cohort group session last week. And both Inbal and I and the entire team are so sorry that that happened. Some of it was just unavoidable. The technology gods just weren't on our side. And I'm not one to blame Mercury retrograde on many things, but I am going to blame Mercury retrograde on some of that. And some of the things that happened are fixable and they have been fixed. And we've got it, we met as a team. It's all being taken care of. I know your time is so precious. And I just thank you for giving us the grace of all of that, but it will all be set for next time. And I know Inbal is really looking forward to it. There was a question or two also that came up on that call about journaling. And I wanted to just talk about journaling for a little bit because you'll be journaling on those smaller cohort calls. And obviously you've seen already, we do a lot of journaling, just in our sessions, our training sessions together. And so here's what I want you to know about the journaling that we do in session. It's the journal questions that we do in session are there for you to create awareness, for you to start dipping in to the issues. To start delving in, and to start to see. But for some of you, the amount of time that we have allotted, isn't going to be enough, particularly if you're an avid journaler. You're going to want to go back to some of the questions on your own time and go deeper with them, right? Like many good coaching questions, some of the questions are gifts that will keep on giving that have layers that you're going to want to go back to. So, but because of class time, I don't give and Inbal won't be giving like the full amount if this were, like a big journaling session. But if you want more of that journaling time, please go back on your own time with it. What we will shift, and Inbal will explain more for the cohort sessions, is that we're just going to give you all the questions, and you'll have 10 minutes, and you know, just use your own time to go through them or pick and choose what's most important for you. We'll also give you those cohort questions ahead of time. All right, the second housekeeping piece that I wanted to mention is I've loved so many of the questions that have come up just about your businesses. And I know some of you have just questions that are maybe not 100% related to the curriculum, but questions on clients that you're working with or curriculum or marketing questions or, you know, anything like that. And so I'm going to add another, I told you every now and again, I'd add a bonus Q&A call. And so I put one on the calendar for us for March 11th, which I believe is a Thursday, from 2 to 3 p.m. Eastern. It is not required at all, but if you've been wanting to either pick my brain on something or get coaching on an inner piece or, you know, anything like that, that time is for you to come. And I'm really excited to be able to offer that. We'll also send an email out about it. And then the last housekeeping thing is I hope that your coaching partner calls have been going well, and I'd love to hear more in the Facebook group on how they're going. There was a good question that we got asked about, you know, what do you do if you just don't have anything to talk about in your session? Like, you know, like I just have nothing to bring to be coached on. And so here are some pointers. I mean, maybe it's just me, but I feel like there's always something to be coached on. So, you know, it's an opportunity for you to bring to the table anything that you need support with in any area of your life, working with clients, business, personal relationships, personal habits, family, well-being, etc. You can bring forward a place where you're stuck, or you can bring forward a place where you'd like to have a new goal, or a difficult conversation that you know you need to have, you know, a struggle that you're having, a brainstorm, you know, even if you're having trouble making time to clean out your closet, you can get coached on that. Don't worry if your coaching partner doesn't have expertise in the area that you want to discuss, because your coaching partner isn't there as a consultant, right? They're there as a practitioner, as a coach. They don't need to have expertise or give advice. They need to be able to hold space and energetics, to listen deeply, to create awareness, to ask questions, to help you understand yourself, your motivations, right? So they don't need expertise in the area. It's not a consulting session. So hopefully that gives you ideas of what you can bring forward. All right, so let me pause there. Any questions on any of the housekeeping pieces? Anybody need anything around that? Just raise your hand in the actual Zoom. I can't see all of you. Elvie.
Joanne, I may not be able to stay for the full time. My son is alone, so 2 hours. I wasn't aware it was going to be a practicing call.
It's okay. It's not, we're not going to be in groups of two. We're going to be doing practice together as a group.
I may just have to leave like a half hour before. So
yeah. So okay. Just stay on as long as you can and then listen to the recording. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Heather is asking in the chat, when you've been hired as a consultant and coach, how do you manage it during a session? Heather, we'll get to that actually in our creating awareness module, because there's lots of different ways to create awareness. And one of the ways is to actually consult. We don't want to over consult, but we'll definitely be talking about that. Our next module is creating awareness. So we're getting there soon. All right, any other questions? Natalie's asking, we can bring any issue, personal or business, right? So just don't, again, and not for consulting, right? So your coaching partner may not know how to put together something in a business, a launch, that kind of thing, but it's to look at issues, whether it's about getting organized, brainstorming, looking at a fear, why you've been resisting something, why you don't feel excited about a certain plan, that sort of thing. Where will you be able to find the cohort questions? That is a good question. We will email them to you, and then I'll see if there's a place where we can put them in the member center as well. All right. Okay. All right. So all that being said, let's dive into our practicum. I'm really excited. I love practicums. They are just such powerful opportunities to go even deeper with all the concepts that we've learned so far. And today we're gonna be focusing on listening skills. So let me just tell you briefly how it works. And then we'll jump right in. Hopefully we'll have time for two different listening sessions. We'll see if we do. But what I'm gonna do is I'm gonna ask for a volunteer client. So if you have an issue, not something that you want consulted on, like how do I do this launch, right? But you've got something going on, please volunteer. And I'll be asking you just to start different questions, and I'll be jumping all over the place asking questions. It may not make sense, but basically I'm just going to ask you questions so that we all as listeners have material to hear things, to be using all of our listening skills. So I'll ask some random questions. I may jump around. And if you're listening, so if you're not the volunteer, and I'll review in a moment, I want you to be thinking about all the different things that we've learned about listening skills and listening for what's important and making notes for yourself on what you're hearing. And then what we'll do is, when we're done with that, I want to hear from each of you what you're hearing. What are some of the things that you listened for? So this is one of those sessions where hopefully I'll be talking a lot less and all of you will be sharing and talking a lot more. The way for this session to be powerful is for you to participate. Not just in terms of needing a volunteer, but also for you to be willing. And I know sometimes it can be scary or you don't want to get it wrong or whatever it is, but for you to share what you're hearing. That's how we're all going to learn together. That's how you'll all learn from each other. I am also going to ask while we're doing our listening, so while I'm asking questions of the volunteer, to not be posting in the chat. The reason being, as we looked at, one of the foundational principles that's required for really deep listening is full presence. And I'm kind of an old person, I guess, because Zoom is like, the chat is still very distracting to me. It's only just a few months ago, I may have told you all that I moved over from audio to Zoom because so many people were asking for it. And I love Zoom for the sense that we can all see each other. It's so nice that way, but I do feel that like the chat can be great sometimes, and then other times it can be really distracting. So while we're doing the actual listening, it's also going to be a practice for you, right? Because when we're with our clients, you know, because of modern life and all of the distractions and all of the things, it can be so easy for our minds to wander, or I wonder what's happening on the email or this or that or the other place, right? So this is also, you know, as you're practicing your listening, it's also a practice for you to be present. And while you're doing listening, as I said, I want you to be thinking about as many of the different pieces as we've looked at over our last few calls. So just to review some of them, I want to invite you and encourage you to be listening to yourself as well as your client. I want to encourage you to be hearing, seeing, and loving the client as you're listening. I want to again encourage you to be present in every moment to be curious, to notice and follow your curiosity. Listen for the who, right? Not just the what of the situation that's being shared, but who is this client, right? And when I ask for shares afterwards on what you've heard, what you're listening to, you know, that share, who is this client? Listen for the client's filters and biases. Listen for the client's emotional state. Listen for the client's engagement in what they're talking about. Are they engaged? Aren't they? Notice if there's moments of silence and what conclusions can you draw from that? What are you listening in the silence? What are you listening, you know, as you pay attention to pacing and tone? What are you hearing about this client's essential nature? Listen for a match or mismatch between behavior and goals. Listen for what's motivating the client. Listen for specific language that's being used. Listen for the client's strengths and resources, wins or celebrations. Listen for the client's beliefs. Listen for the client's potential obstacles or fears. Listen for who's influencing this client. Listen for if something seems misplaced with the rest of the conversation. That may happen naturally because I'll be jumping all around. When I ask questions, I won't be coaching. Listen for what the client isn't saying. Or if the client repeats certain things, is there an importance there? See if you can draw connections and patterns as you listen. So before we jump in, let me ask you, you know, of all the listening skills that we've looked at or the pieces to be listening for, what's your edge? What is your edge when it comes to your deep listening skills, right? Because there are certain things that I know you're masterful at, right? What's the next edge for you? And I'd love, this is a moment to share in the chat. I'd love for you to share in the chat. What's your edge when it comes to your deep listening skills? Becoming even more aware of your filters. Yeah, staying curious and open. Being aware of your filters. Yeah. Yeah. The filters are a biggie. What do I mean by edge? Like, where is a new area of growth for you? Maybe you're great at hearing client strengths, but you haven't been listening for pacing or being curious. Letting go of needing to know the answers, right? That will help you be more present once you let go of needing to know the answers. Sometimes I enjoy listening and then not really sure what to say. So Tracy, this is going to be great practice because you don't need to say anything for right now. This will actually help your listening skills to just listen for, you know, what is it that you're hearing? Remaining present, allowing for silence, shifting away from advice giving. Yeah, so for you, Cynthia, don't think about what advice you would give this client as you're listening. Just be curious. See what you're hearing. Allowing more space for listening and try instead of trying to get to the answer quickly. Yep. Curiosity. Beautiful. Trusting yourself. Okay, great. So one more question for each of you. This could be based on what your edge is or not. As we go into this practice listening, what's the intention that you want to set for yourself in terms of your listening? What's the intention that you want to set for yourself and that you want to be aware of as you listen? What's your intention? To be open and be fully present. Beautiful. Staying present. Want to be aware of everything. Yeah. May not be able to be aware of everything. to trust yourself. Listening with all of your senses. I love that. Yes. To see the client fully, Nina. Yes. To listen with new ears. I love that. I love all of these. To listen for what's under what's being said. To listen without thinking about response. That's such a great practice. To stay curious and notice something you haven't before. To trust the client. Beautiful. To remain as open as possible to all the cues and not just the words. Yes. Listen as if the client, knowing the client was whole and complete. We listen differently, right? When we've got that energetic in place, we hear different things when we approach that way. Beautiful. All right. So that being said, who would like to be our first client volunteer? And if a couple of you raise your hands, just so you know, if I don't pick you, it's not that I don't love you. It's just that I'm going to intuitively pick like where we can learn the most today. So don't be shy. Who would like to volunteer to be our guinea pig client, our volunteer client? Awesome. Stephanie, with you.
Hi.
Hi. Good to see you.
Oh, good to see you. I'm out of my comfort zone, but I thought I'd challenge myself. So
I'm so glad that you did. Thank you for volunteering. It takes courage for sure. Awesome. So as I said before, just as a reminder, I'm gonna try my best not to coach you, just to kind of pull information out of you. So if I jump from one topic to the next, just pay no attention. We'll just go with it. That sounds okay. Good.
Yes.
Okay. Awesome. And then for everybody else, I want you to be taking notes, right? Take notes on what you're hearing. I may take some notes as well. All right. So let's almost like pretend like this was a session, Stephanie, and share with us a current situation that you'd like support on, one where it's not like you just need some consulting on what to do, but something that's kind of bigger than that.
Okay. So I'm having some imposter syndrome right now. I am a holistic nutrition consultant and I'm having some health issues, particularly gut health issues. And I focus on gut health with my clients. And so I'm right now having this disconnect between, you know, putting myself out, marketing myself, saying that, you know, I can help you do this. I can help you, you know, heal your gut and get better, but then I'm kind of going through the same thing and having a really hard time feeling aligned and in integrity.
Yeah. Again, I there's so much I want to say, but I'm not going to. I'm so just excuse me kind of going all over the place. What are some of the things that you're saying to yourself?
I'm definitely getting into the negative feedback loop. A lot of negative thoughts, you know.
Like what?
Like maybe you're not supposed to be doing this work. Why would anyone want to work with you if you actually like keep getting, you know, sicker? No one's going to want to work with you.
So it sounds like a lot of nobody's going to want to work with you because you have this issue. Mm-hmm. And some of a little bit of like, who am I to help others?
Yeah.
With this?
Yeah.
How is that? You shared a little bit about how that's impacting you. Share with us a little bit more, inner and outer. How's that impacting you?
It's definitely shifted my energy. I'm feeling less confident. I think it's just been kind of more consuming me than anything else. And it's been hard to get out of that negative energy and back into that space of like, you know, the universe is my oyster and I've got this and I am deserving and worthy of all of this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Where do you know this negative feedback loop from? I'm guessing, you can tell me if I'm wrong, I'm guessing this isn't the first time you've experienced this.
Oh, no. This was a way of life for many, many years. And it took a lot of work to move through and past it. And you know, for the most part, I'd say I'm like 95% in, you know, don't think that way anymore, but it comes back and I take my two steps back, I get into it for a bit and then move through and go back forward. But it's definitely been there since my childhood.
Yeah. And what has helped you in the past when it's been two steps back? What's helped you move forward?
I think repeating affirmations actually has been really helpful, and saying them out loud, not just thinking them, but really like speaking them loudly from that deep core of my being, and really like hearing myself say it and believing it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, beautiful. Again, I'm just jumping all over the place. Tell me if this is right. I'm guessing that this isn't the first time in your business where the imposter syndrome has come up.
No, it came up a lot in the very beginning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, tell us more about that.
I think it was, you know, the building phase. I kind of quit my, you know, full-time real world job or whatever really quickly, and then had to jump into this, and I completely thought that, you know, if I didn't book clients right away, I was a failure and I couldn't, you know, and then it would go into that negative feedback loop. I think, you know, I thought, well, I've only had this, you know, 2 years of schooling, what makes me an expert? But I realized, you know, after that, my gut health issues did make me an expert. You know, I had years of expertise, but.
Oh, your gut health issues did make you an expert. Interesting.
Go figure.
Yeah, talk more about that. What does make someone an expert or not an imposter or suitable to do the work that you do?
I think, you know, having both the life experience and this, you know, the education behind it, being able to really talk about it in a compassionate way. I think would make one feel like, or, you know, would make one be an expert, doing research on their own and, you know, really like feeling confident in talking about it.
Yeah. I want you to use, I'm diverting here for a moment, but just because it's a good moment, I want you to use your listening skills right now. What did you not just mention? You may or may not have caught it in terms of what it takes to be an expert.
I don't think I caught it.
So What I didn't hear you say is in order to be an expert and not an imposter, you need to have fully healed your own gut health issues.
I did not say that.
Just something I heard.
Yeah, no, that's poignant.
There's something else I was going to ask before that. Oh, what this kind of the gut stuff that's happening right now, how is it making you a better practitioner?
It's, you know, I'm in the trenches with my clients and going through what they're going through. I can relate on a personal level. I can relate on a professional level. It's giving me more insight into just how much resistance my clients have and fear.
Yeah. And for your clients that have gut issues that don't, I mean, I'm assuming most people, it doesn't get solved in a day. I know I've had my own ongoing gut, right? Like, but what is it that you want your clients to know deep in their hearts about their gut issues or not getting over their gut issues right away or gut issues coming back? What's your philosophy or what do you want them to know?
That healing is not linear. Mm-hmm. And you know, you can be moving forward and sometimes you have a setback or you veer off, you know, to the right or left, but you can always come back to your path and keep moving forward. Because it's not going to look, it's not going to be perfect.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Trying to think what else I can ask just to pull out any other things here for us. Anything else that you want to share as we've been talking that's been coming up or moving through your mind or about the situation?
I think what you pulled out that I didn't say was that I need to be healed from my gut health issues to be an expert. That's a really good point and a big observation, because I don't need to be healed from my issues to be able to help someone else through theirs.
I'm so glad that came through. Yeah, I always end up coaching a little bit when I'm not supposed to. Sorry about that. But okay, one other just random question. You spoke a little bit about this. The imposter syndrome, how's it showing? Like, is it showing up? And if so, how, in your client work, in your marketing? Just anything around that maybe you want to share?
Yeah, I am feeling uninspired to do daily posts on social media, even though I've still been doing them. I notice, like, when my energy is not in it, it's not as well received. Mm-hmm. I haven't really been wanting to do anything else except showing up for my clients and my coaching partner, just kind of like the bare minimum, but really showing up there when I can.
Yeah.
I think those are like the two biggest ways.
Okay. Great. See if there's anything else I can ask. I think that's good. I think we've got information to work with. So thank you. And you can also take notes right now too, Stephanie, you know, write down some things maybe that you heard or you noticed. And I'll give everybody a couple more moments to just make notes, really think about all that you heard from Stephanie. Think about who she is, you know, who's the who that you listen to? What did you notice about her as you were listening to her essential nature, her beliefs, her energy? What did you notice about her situation? Are there certain threads that you heard that could be connected? I'll give you all 2-3 minutes and write down, you know, at least, probably you already have a whole bunch of things, at least 5 to 10 important things that you heard. And important doesn't have to be perfect, like the most profound thing ever, right? So just 5 to 10 things that you heard that are pertinent. Maybe that's better than important. Based on what I asked Stephanie or what she shared or both. Yeah, just anything that you heard or picked up on any of the verbal or nonverbal cues in the conversation. I'll give you another minute. Take a few more moments. Think about what you heard, who you heard. Listening, you know, as we looked at, it's the basis of any questions that we ask. Any awareness that we're going to create, you know, has to start with the listening. All right. So I want to hear, and again, don't be shy. Don't feel like what you have to contribute is, you know, fully baked. Maybe you're not sure. Like, you, I think I heard this, but I'm not sure. That's so valuable to bring that forward and contribute that, right? Because we can take a look at that. Together, we can ask Stephanie to clarify, right? So please, please don't be shy. I want to invite people that regularly share to share. I want to invite people that usually don't share to share. Let's hear from a lot of different voices on this. This is how we're really going to learn. Mima.
Okay, Stephanie, thanks for all that you shared.
And I'm sorry, I'll just interrupt for a second. Let's share just one thing at a time that in case, I know that makes it so much harder, but you can re-raise your hand again so that, you know, everybody gets a chance to speak. Okay.
I'm gonna sum it up. What I heard, I think my big thread that I heard was that right now Stephanie herself is in a time of rest, and that she offers these really caretaking beliefs of not being perfect, healing's not linear, setbacks are okay. But I'm hearing that as she's giving it to her clients, but then not hearing it for herself, that on a healing journey, there comes times of action and times of rest. And so I was just wondering what she might say to a client who was going through a time of rest, or if she thought she was in a time of rest, because I heard that the low energy was happening.
Yeah, beautiful.
It's hard to sum up.
Yeah, those are great sum up. And just so everybody knows, you don't have to sum up everything that you heard. You can just share even little pieces and details. Okay. So I'm going to pull one piece of what you shared. And I heard it too. And I think it's great deep listening that there's a mismatch between Stephanie's beliefs about healing for others versus how she's really embodying it for herself. Right. And that's important for us as practitioners to listen for that mismatch, because first of all, it lets us know what her beliefs are about healing. But number two, we know she already has these cognitive understandings, and our job is to support her to embody it even more. She's probably embodied it a lot throughout her journey, which is why she does the work that she does, but to take it in even more deeply for herself. Beautiful. Thank you, Nima. Sharon.
Hello. Well, I was you worded it a little differently, but I was kind of chomping at the bit to ask, and I was going to ask, I would have asked in this way, how might your experience serve you in serving your clients? And when you got to that, what wasn't being said part, I really felt her energy shift, and I felt her get more, she just dropped down into herself in a deeper way and got more vulnerable and softer, but also some intrinsic strength.
Yes.
I felt that also as she kind of dropped in and was like, oh, right. She really took that in.
Yeah, I'm so glad you're bringing that forward, Sharon, right? Because it's like we listen for what's being said, and then we listen for the energy, right? The nonverbal. And 100%, I noticed that too. You know, when I kind of created awareness around that for Stephanie, you know, you could see it visually. This is one of the great things about being on Zoom, but you could also even hear it too. There was a shift in the energy of her voice. She paused there for a moment, you know, and then she took it in. You could feel viscerally that something was being integrated, right? That was important for this client, right? So, you know, we'll get to creating awareness and all of that, but that would be a great moment to say something there, right? To say, tell me if I'm getting this right. I feel like you just took something in. That's really important. We don't always want to say everything that we're hearing, but a lot of times it's like you hear it, you're like,
no, but just to even reflect it that way. I love that. I love that. That's beautiful.
Good. Thank you, Sharon.
Yeah.
Elvie.
I was about to echo what Sharon just shared. For me, I felt like an exhale when you asked that, like when you missed that, what she missed in describing. So it was more, for me, it was more the cues from her body and her tone of voice. And it almost like something just dropped and she got, you know.
Yeah, but that when we hear a shift in energy, when we hear a drop in that way, sometimes it could be because there's fear and resistance, but more times than not, it's because something has dropped in.
Yeah.
In a deep
way. I just wrote, it's funny, I just wrote exhale. I felt like there was like a, so it was more of that energetic shift that was felt. Yeah.
Beautiful. And again, not that this is, you know, an exploration of creating awareness or questions or anything like that, but another way to handle that, you know, I just modeled one way to reflect back, but another way to handle that in a session is to say, like, my sense is something just dropped in for you deeply. What is it? What's important for you here? Creating that awareness. Beautiful. Chelsea.
One thing that I heard at the beginning was I was really aware of her tone of voice. It was like breathy and a little bit soft and airy. And I even noticed in myself, like some, like my breathing was shallow as I just witnessed her, how her voice was showing up. So yeah, I just wanted to share that. And then at the end, the shift that we just talked about.
Yeah, absolutely. There was that. And particularly, did you all notice when she mentioned imposter syndrome? And then I forget what she said right after that, but it almost felt like tears were coming up, right? It wasn't the words, but there was that cue of, oh, there's tears. You know, there's, this is emotional. This is something that's important. We want to take note of that. Beautiful. Linda.
Yeah, I felt sadness, like a very despondent feeling, and that, and then as the more that she shared is that this has been going on for a really long time, her own challenges, and then maybe a fear or a despondency that she won't figure it out. So that's what, that it stopped her in doing the practice. And, you know, her thoughts about herself as a, you know, as a imposter, she didn't figure this out. But anyway, I just felt energetically, I just felt a sadness throughout the whole thing, other than the kind of the aha moment. Like,
when, yeah, I felt the sadness too. No. And Stephanie, I'd be curious to hear if there was a despondent. I don't even know how to define despondent.
Yeah, I don't either.
But for sure, the sadness.
Sadness,
that came up. Yeah, good. Kelsey.
I think I felt the sadness as well. And then once we got to the point about the question of knowing deep in your heart of what your clients need, there was this sense of confidence that came through, and she right away could educate us on exactly what the client needed. And I thought that was a fun shift in the conversation, because it was very much like she, and a pause afterwards of like, I know exactly what I need to do, and I have all the inner intuition and the information that I need. And talking about other people and our clients, it's amazing how it highlights the confidence and the inner knowing that we have.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm so glad you're bringing this forward. So, like, for me, this was the first voice-to-voice conversation that Stephanie and I have had. I know her a little bit from Instagram, but I don't really know Stephanie very well, right? So I'm going in, you know, not knowing this person. And you could see, even though she was talking about imposter syndrome, you could see and feel in certain moments that she's a very confident practitioner in other ways, right? And that's something that we want to note as practitioners. And that's probably something that we want to create awareness for the client as well. Good. Raka.
Hi, Jenna. Oh, my video on. I just wanted to share that I experienced her, like, listening for the who. I experienced her as like a sensitive person who was really wanting to be in integrity and wanting to really show up for her clients in integrity. And I experienced her, you know, being vulnerable. And I had a sense of like fear, you know, with what she was experiencing. And I heard this.
I'm going to pause you there. Claire's asking for one piece at a time, and you already said such amazing things. Oh. And I want to pull one of the pieces out. Yes, to all of them. And the one that I want to pull out is that we could see or we could hear that she's a person of integrity, right? Mm-hmm. She wants to do well by her clients. It may come up in that conversation with a client, or that might be information that we store away for the future, but that's such a valuable thing for us to hear and listen for, right? This is someone who really wants to serve and serve with integrity and serve really well. Beautiful, thank you. Mary Ellen.
Yeah, so when you asked what would someone suitable have to do this work, I noticed that she closed her eyes and kind of went inward. And that told me that she was really connecting with her intuition. And so it was like one of those moments of like, she is whole and complete and she has all the answers.
Yeah. Yeah. And if we sense in a particular moment as we listen that a client is really connecting into their intuition, then we may know certain things about what comes out of their mouth next, right? That it's probably not coming from a place of fear, that there's a truth with a capital T for them in what they're saying. Beautiful. Maya.
Hey. I don't know if I have it fully defined yet, but something that I heard when you asked about what would make a current condition or a current situation useful for a client. What I heard is somebody who takes on, and I wonder if what happens is we hear what we do in other people. I heard somebody who takes on the responsibility for themselves and for the client. So I heard that the negative point of view of what's missing, what was presumed on a client's point of view, and the positive, what was preserved, was sort of presented from Stephanie's own. So I would be curious to hear from her what she, if she could speak for the client, for herself, take a place of a client and see herself through their eyes and say what it is that they could see in her. Does that make any sense?
I'm taking it in. No, not to me, I'm sorry.
In other words, she said, what I have to offer is this. I can see my client better, I can relate better. If she for a second pretended to be a client, what mm-hmm. would a client say about her? If I was her client, I would say, oh my God, you can see me because you also have this issue.
Okay, I see. So okay, so for this exercise, we're talking about what we're hearing, not what we would ask. But what I think what you're saying is what you're hearing through the question that you asked is that Stephanie is a practitioner who really sees and hears her clients. And whether you asked a question or in some other ways, you would want to create awareness around that. Am I getting that right? I might not be.
Somewhat, yes.
Okay, if anyone can help me, let me know. Or Maya, if you come up with better ways. But what I'm hearing and what you're saying is that you heard that Stephanie really sees and hears her clients, which may not be what you're saying at all, but I would agree with that at least. Wendy.
I heard Stephanie say early in the conversation when she was talking about, you had asked her about how long had she had the negative thought loops or negative thinking loops. It was part like at the end of that part of the conversation. And she said in there that the world is her oyster. So there was a period of time where she said the world is her oyster. So, which seems to be a phrase meaning that she had it all. I could be wrong, but that would be something to ask about. And then I also felt that there was comparison in there. So she's comparing where she is now to another point in time or another state of being.
Nice. Yeah, I heard the world is her oyster too, and also noted that. That was for me an important thing to hear, because as we've been saying, like, Stephanie came to the conversation soft, and you know, she was not feeling great and emotional about the imposter syndrome. But there were a couple times where a different kind of energy popped through, and we could see. So another aspect of her essential nature, the world is my oyster. And did you all notice there was a certain point she was talking about how she usually markets, and this excited energy came through her whole face lit up. And you could see that, you know, she has this imposter syndrome going on right now, but her, like, to me, I felt like where more of her, where she is usually is. And again, I've never met you before, Stephanie, so you can tell me if I'm wrong, but that there's an excitement, that you have an excitement energy about you. Beautiful. Dottie.
Hi. Something that I sensed through everything Stephanie said, especially in the beginning, was that the gut health issues are pointing to the negative thought patterns, and it's helping bring that up again in order to look at that in a different way, a deeper way.
Nice. So that she could use what's happening with her gut issues to go deeper in working through the negative thought patterns.
Yeah.
Nice. Good. Naomi.
Thank you so much, Stephanie, for being the brave client volunteer. I felt a really powerful shift happened when Joanna, you created that link between the past and the present. And Stephanie, I heard you remind yourself of the tools that you used in the past. And I saw you smile and nod. And those cues to me were such a beautiful shift. So it was a mixture of seeing and listening that I offered to you.
Yeah, beautiful. And that she knows that she has tools, right? And that's related to another piece. It's subtle, but these things I think are important. Like around that, one of the other things that I heard is that Stephanie is someone who has done work on herself, who has tools, who uses her tools. We're not perfectly, because none of us do, right? But that's an important thing to know about the client. Good. Jenny and Mark.
I don't know if this is exactly right, but I felt like I was hearing almost like a preemptively taking on a self-judgment that may not really be based on her deepest values, but it's like worried that other like clients would have this judgment. And there was some sort of like, I wasn't quite clear, like how much is really, and then, cause then when you said that, asked more about what makes somebody qualified in those questions, it's like, there was this sort of change in the energy and change in the tone. And I felt like, oh, that's kind of like the real, like the deeper stuff. And so it almost felt like it was something that was maybe taken on based on past stuff and a fear of what others might judge.
Yeah, I'm glad you're bringing that forward, because that's an important thing to notice, is this is the root of this imposter syndrome. You know, I'm really scared that other people are thinking this, and that it may just go as far as that, or is there even a deeper root of I think this too? Nice. Good, Sonia.
Hey, well, what I was hearing was also that she had left her former job in order to do this work. And I felt that she has deep love actually for the work and also in the betterment for her clients. And so I think I felt that she really understands that the healing is cyclical, but I also felt that there was a hope for a betterment, and that betterment didn't happen for her. In that sense that she got sick again is maybe like losing a bit of that, well, there was maybe still the love for the work, but a bit that hope that it can really heal people.
Yeah, I heard some of that too, like, okay, well, I cleared these gut issues and so I'm good, and now they're back again. So what does that mean about me? There's something in there about the recurrence. And by the way, Stephanie, we're talking so much about you in front of you. I'm going to come back to you and see what resonates and what doesn't. All right. Chelsea.
I thought one thing that stood out to me was she sort of laughed as she said something that was really true, which was, she, in her own words, was gut health experience did make me an expert. And I think you kind of called that out too, and then used that opportunity to shift. And I just, that stood out to me, and a shift in her, just how she was speaking, and that laughter as a, just a sign that was something to pay attention to.
Yes, laughing is almost always going to be something to pay attention to, right? And she did say that, like, her experience with gut health is what makes her an expert. I was like tiptoeing around coaching there. I was trying not to, but in a session, that's something that you would want to create deeper awareness around, because sometimes a client says something, but they don't hear deeply what they're saying. Good. Sonia F.
I think I heard her say twice that she gets caught in a negative feedback loop. And I love the awareness and, you know, like the first step that she already knew that it's just thoughts.
Absolutely. So I think there's a couple pieces in there. First of all, this client is very self-aware. She knows herself, even to out the gate to say imposter syndrome or get stuck in negative feedback. It's obvious, but it's also important. We want to note this as practitioners, right? Does this client know themselves well? Do they have a lot of self-awareness? Have they done work on themselves, right? So that's one piece. And then making note of the negative feedback loop, you know, there's so many different directions you can go in a session to support a client to get to where they want to go. That could be a road to go down, looking at the negative feedback loop, you know, specifically through that lens. Beautiful. Lisa. You there, Lisa? Thought I saw your hand raised.
Sorry, I was talking. Did you hear any of that?
No, none of it.
Okay, sorry. So I know others have touched upon this moment, but I want to give my perspective. So I felt that Stephanie, even in her sadness and vulnerability, had amazing presence and grace and had her power. And then when you asked her to talk about what an expert would have, what qualities or experiences, she went into the third person, her voice got very quiet, and I almost felt like she checked out, like she wasn't even with us in the same way. And in my mind, that was down that road of compare and despair, but perhaps it was something else. And then when you brought back that piece about, oh, you didn't say this, you know, you didn't mention that your own, you know, they had to be healed, she came back in the room. And so that was a very powerful, like, kind of leaving and coming back. And I would just be curious, you know, when Stephanie talks again, to let us know what was really going on during that, because I found it fascinating.
That's super interesting. I would be curious too. I didn't catch that, but I don't catch everything. So let's hear from Stephanie, because I think that's really interesting. Good. Thank you. Jen.
Heard with Stephanie is that she really met her growth in.
Can you? It's very hard to hear you. It almost feels like there's something covering your microphone, maybe. No. Okay. Good. All right, Maya.
I think Mark did a much better job at explaining what I was trying to say.
Who did?
Mark.
Ah, okay. So that's what you were saying. Beautiful.
I felt like I heard a certain assumption on a part of a client of what they might think about Stephanie. And what I think I didn't hear is, why are they working with her?
Hmm.
What are they seeing in her? What are they hearing? What are they coming to her for?
Nice. Beautiful. Good. Catherine.
Hi. One thing I got curious about as Stephanie was talking, and it's weird to talk about Stephanie in third person when she's here, but I'm really curious about her relationship with that doubt that came up. And the reason I say that, it was, I just, I, I don't know if this is true or if I'm making it up, but I thought I caught a little glimmer before she felt emotional and was showing sadness. I almost caught like a little smile on her face. And I was like, is there a little bit of a rebel in that doubt? And if so, how can that relationship serve her, you know, if and when that doubt comes up again? Because I can see there was a real gift in it, because it allowed her to kind of take a step back and then go deeper and have this breakthrough. So I'm curious about that relationship with herself and her doubt and her empowerment.
Nice, beautiful. Good, we'll take one more or two more. I'll take from people that we haven't heard from yet. Natalie.
Hi. Yeah, just what Catherine said, I really resonate with that. And I wanted to add onto that kind of gift that was in kind of the doubt, the shadow. So I was like really sensed this inadequacy and self-doubt coming up, which of course is just so natural. But what that meant, which was how like deeply self-aware and passionate and committed she is to really showing up in the best way she can for her clients.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. 100%. I heard that too. Good. Heather.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. So I'm really trying to check my filters here because I'm aware I have one. But it for me, I heard a connection between the hesitancy that she had when she said that she had like 95% cleared her negative feedback and had done all of that work. And then when you brought the awareness to the question where you asked, what would make you a professional about this and not an imposter? She kept saying, it would make one be instead of embodying, it would make me be. Like there was that.
Right. I think that's similar to what Lisa was saying, kind of like that disconnection piece. Yeah, you too picked up on something that I didn't hear there. That's great. And I really want to hear from Stephanie on that. But that subtle shift of language from one would do that to me could be very important. Okay. Should we hear from Stephanie yet? Hold on. Let me see if there's anything else I want to ask all of you. No? Stephanie, I want to come back to you.
All right. I'm here.
Okay. So first, just want to hear, is there anything that you want to add? Like anything that you heard? You know, it's hard to hear yourself when you're in it, but just anything that wasn't said that you want to add? First of all, in terms of what you might have heard from you?
I heard some limiting beliefs. I heard my own education filter, and I was trying to check it while we were talking, actually, in terms of like, you know, you have to be educated to be an expert. That's like my own coming from like the world of academia.
Nice. Nice.
Yeah, I think those were like the two that, and being scared, like I heard myself being scared.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Feels like that's important to you, what you just said.
Being scared.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I am scared. There's some unknowns in my future, and so I am very routine based, and I like to know when things are happening, and so when I don't know, I get nervous and anxious and start to kind of spin out.
That's really good self-awareness, right? And just what you said, to catch yourself in it when you start to spin out about your business, to know that you know, it's coming from the fear and the pattern. Mm-hmm. Good. So let's ask this question that Lisa and Heather brought up about how you disconnected when you were talking about, you know, what it takes. Did that ring true for you? Did that resonate?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, beautiful.
Yeah, that definitely resonated. That is something that I do when I am not confident in myself. And it's something I've done because it's, I, you know, don't believe that I'm there, even though when I sit back and think about it and, you know, write it all out, write out or say out all the ways that I am qualified to do this work, I rationally know that. But that irrational part of me definitely will go to saying someone else is the next, you know, is doing this and I'm not
there. But not me.
Yeah, I'm not there yet.
Good. Okay, great. And then my last question is, you know, so we didn't do coaching, you know, we really just shared what we were hearing, right? So we didn't even go to the full extent of questioning and true creating awareness or visioning or strategizing, you know, any of those things. But I'm guessing that, and you can tell me, tell us, and it's okay if not, but I'm guessing that even just hearing what people heard was powerful for you, and that there were, that you learned some things for yourself about you or where you're at. Feel free to say no, but let me know if I'm getting that right.
Yeah, I was literally, you were getting it absolutely right. I was gonna say, if you didn't ask that question, I was gonna say, can I say something about that?
Yes, please do. I wrote more about it.
I wrote down everything that everyone said, and it was just such a powerful experience to hear how people saw me and heard me and got so much of it right. So everybody is a really good listener, just FYI. Because it feels really good to be seen. And I think, you know, a lot of people that I work with are not seen for who they are. Especially when they're in pain or they're hurting. And personally, I've worked with so many doctors who also don't see me or hear me. So it's refreshing to know that there are 40 some people in here that are listening and hearing and seeing their clients.
Beautiful. Thank you for saying that. And I did a little bit lead you into this, though you did say you were going to say it anyway. Yeah. It was because I wanted to make a point. And The point that I wanted to make is just how powerful listening is, right? Like without asking fancy questions or doing any processes or anything like that. Somebody said it was so powerful to be seen and heard, right? And I'm putting some words in your mouth, but to be reflected, to have some truths reflected back to you about who you are and where you're at, you know, just that alone is so, like you just said, is so valuable. We need that. Our clients need that. So yes, everybody should feel so good. I'm blown away by the shares and the responses, like all that you heard. Your listening skills are incredible. We don't have time to do a second volunteer for, so thank you, Stephanie. Thank you so much.
Thank you, everybody.
Yay. And if you want to be really coachy, Stephanie, you can give yourself one or two or three action steps to take based on whatever came out of today. All right, so I want to hear, I've got some homework, but before we get there, I want to hear from some of you. What are you learning from our time together today? What are you seeing? What's becoming clear? What are you noticing? I want to hear from some of you voice to voice. What did you learn today?
I can be paying a lot closer attention and really tracking. I'm also not feeling great today. And this is one of the things I go in and out of, is I have sinusy stuff. And so Stephanie, I totally get it. Like, it, you know, it makes me kind of, you know, maybe not all there. I don't know if you ever have that, Stephanie, where it's like, you don't feel great, so it's hard to be present also. So there's that. And I picked up on a lot, but some of the other things that people mentioned, I was like, oh. And then again, I guess we're not going to catch.
We're not ever going to catch all the things. But that's the beauty of it too, is that it's an art, not a science. So it's not like we have to, you know, this and this, and then to this and this, right? So it's all good. Beautiful. Yeah. Thanks, Sharon. Michelle.
Yeah, I too felt like I could be listening better or differently. But at the same time, what is so cool is that there's so many ways that people heard different things that were just as valuable and places to explore and investigate that could in the end bring out some similar yes. insights.
Yeah. And again, I'm happy that you're underscoring this, because my intention is not for anybody to walk away from this feeling like they have to do it perfectly or hear everything. That's just not possible. You know, like there are things that I didn't catch too, right? But what I do want you to walk away with is the importance of listening, and then the knowing that if you're being present, if you're listening to yourself as well as your client, if your intention is to see and hear and let, you know, all the things that we've been looking at, you will hear the things that will help you guide your client in that instance to what they need and to the intention that they're looking for. Beautiful. Thank you, Rose.
Yes. I was really struck by the fact that in listening to Stephanie, I personally have a gut problem today. I personally have my own self-doubt issues about my work. And just in listening deeply to Stephanie, I could just really feel how we sell ourselves short by not recognizing the depth of what we learn in our own experiences of the very thing that we're helping other people with. I mean, it just takes it so much deeper, and I could see it listening to Stephanie. Mm-hmm. So I had this huge learning reflected back to me so I'm really grateful, Stephanie. Thank you so much.
I love that. I love it because you can take that for you personally, but then that would also be a beautiful thing to create awareness for that client in terms of your listening skills for the client.
Yes.
So it's a double win.
Yes.
Beautiful. Trish.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay, great. A takeaway that I'm just getting right now is the potency of listening, really truly as the safety of a container. If all we did, because there's so much to it, but setting that intention and just saying I'm willing to show up without my filters, or at least checking them, and then truly allowing it to be creative.
Yes.
So, that is just really hitting me, because to have a human being walk away and say that she felt seen and heard, I mean, is there anything greater than that? So that's my take.
Absolutely. And it, what you're sharing is profound, really, because there's no way that there can be integrity in the container if we don't show up and listen deeply. Yeah, beautifully said. Thank you. Chelsea.
Yeah, the words that I think were very similar to what were just shared, but that I wrote down a couple of times was being a witness and how powerful that is. And it almost takes like the pressure off, you know, of like me needing to do anything else. And I was also just really aware, I know that we'll learn more, that there's more to it, but just that like baseline foundation of witnessing. And then I was also just aware of like, oh, I've learned a lot in the last couple of weeks. Like, so thank you, Joanna. You know, just noticing my ability to be curious and to yeah, notice what catches my attention. And I feel like I've built some listening skills. So that was good awareness.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yay. I'm so glad that you can see that. And yeah, I always, some of you have heard me use the phrase sacred witness, you know, and I feel like that is one of the roles that we play as sacred depths practitioners is to be that sacred witness for our clients. Wendy.
I want to share what one of the biggest, all of this is so fabulous, but a really important thing for me and my edge is exploring my curiosity and asking more questions is where we, most of us anyway, got where she turned inward to her own inner guidance, and she was silent and we could see that she was tapping in. And then your response to our responses was that was an area to ask her about, well, what just dropped in for you? It seems like, so for me, that's a big awareness to take it a step further instead of assuming, okay, that was a moment and not taking it further and anchoring it in. So thank you for that.
Yeah, you're welcome. And so beautifully said, this, you know, anchoring it in, Stanley is saying in the chat, naming it, right? It's so powerful to do that. And we'll definitely, when we get into creating awareness, look at lots of different ways to do that. Tracy.
Hi. So one of my lessons from today was that I don't always need to be jumping in and giving them the answer, because maybe I already know the answer, or maybe I want to take it in like a marketing direction, right? Or solving their problem for them. And I just really, that would have maybe made her even feel worse or close back down, versus just allowing her to answer the questions for herself and see it. And then holding that space, right, was really powerful.
Yeah, I'm so glad you're bringing that forward, because that is a biggie. And there is a time and a place for problem solving, you know, all of that for sure. But we do, many of us do tend to jump in to try to fix things when that's actually what's not needed in the moment. Or to try to give the answer when what's actually required, much more powerful is for the client to find the answer. Beautiful. Bruce.
I thought I should say something before the 10 months is over.
I was going to say, I'm so excited to hear your voice.
I haven't. Yeah, well, you know, you haven't heard what I have to say yet. Yeah, well, I just noticed in the listening how quick the curiosity stops and the interpretation begins. Mm. And, you know, I've just noticed this propensity I have for asking, you know, same kind of things you say, am I getting this right? Or can you say that again? Or just this constant curiosity and not going too fast to interpretation, that it's, I confuse the two. I confuse what I've heard with interpretation all the time.
Yeah, I'm so glad you're bringing that forward. I think it's related to filters too, right? Because when our filters aren't checked, we're quick to interpret what we think we're hearing. Sometimes yeah. That can be helpful too. Like right. Sometimes that can accelerate it. But yes, myself too, you know, I need to remind myself curiosity, you know, don't jump to the conclusion.
Well, and we wouldn't even be in this damn business if we didn't fancy ourselves to be pretty good problem solvers. So it's the natural neural pathway is to go right to it. So it's, you have to retrain your brain, I think.
Yeah.
At least I do.
So. Yeah, agree 100%. I'm so glad you're bringing that forward.
Okay, that's it till November now. See
you. Oh, no. Linda.
I love what Bruce just said, but in addition to what many people shared, what they got out of it, which I feel the same, is I noticed that I was really, really curious about her sadness and what that meant. And so I didn't know if I was, you know, projecting, if I was running through a filter, but I was left with really wanting to ask a lot of other questions about, you know, is she sad and what's that sadness about? But yeah. But I found myself making up like, okay, that maybe she's despondent, she'll never heal herself. And well, you know, all these things I was making up, and I really need to watch that and ask the question, but yeah.
I'm so glad that that's coming together, you know, yes, 100%. And when we're not sure if we're listening through a filter, we can ask, right? We can say like, I'm so curious about your sadness, but I'm not sure if that has to do with me or not. Does that feel like an important avenue to explore for you, right?
Definitely.
Just put it out there.
Exactly.
Yeah. Beautiful. Thanks for bringing that forward. Nima.
I wanted to add what Linda said is that I didn't hear any sadness. Like I was like, oh, this is an empowered person who's already overcome this. So she had like the notes I took were like, she already has the tools. She has the awareness. So also just again, like I was noticing like, oh, that's my filter. So it,
I didn't notice over or like a ton. I noticed some sadness, but not despondent or it's never going to. Right. So yeah, that's why it's good to ask.
Yeah. And then I just wanted to add too, just of like that self-reflection of, I thought I checked my filters, but there are more filters there. It's the layers of the onion to my filters.
Yeah. Yeah. And again, filters are not bad, right?
We just
want to ask and not make the assumptions.
Yeah. Thanks everyone for sharing, and to Stephanie. This is so helpful.
I'm so glad. Yes. Power. I want to just give some homework, but again, I just want to really honor everyone. Amazing. I am blown away with all of your listening and your thoughtfulness. So a couple of things to go deeper with this. First of all, we're going to drop, this is optional. I don't want to give you more things unless you want it, but we're going to drop a recording of a previous listening practicum from another cycle into the member center. So if you want to like do more work like this, you know, you can listen along and then write, take notes, and then sort of see how that session and that conversation goes. So don't, not required, but if you want more of that kind of listening practice, you can get another recorded call like this. If you are currently working with clients, I want you to think about what's one place that you want to work on when it comes to listening. What's one place that you want to work on when it comes to listening? Just identify that now, if you can, right now. What's one place you want to work on when it comes to listening? And even if you're super advanced listener, you know, we all have our edges, right? And whatever that is, whatever you've identified, I want you to see if you can track that over the next 2 weeks. So after your client, you know, remind yourself of it before your client sessions, and then check in on it. You can even make a chart for yourself if you want, but track it a little bit over the next few weeks. That's a way to build the muscle, you know, and move to mastery there. And if you're working with a coaching partner, just continue to practice deep listening as you have been. And challenge yourself. If you're not someone who usually goes out on some hunches based on what you're hearing, so that's about listening to yourself while listening to your client. I want you to challenge yourself to listen to yourself more, listen to your hunches, and then share them with your coaching partner and see if you're getting it right as a way of practicing that muscle. All right, everyone, I'm sending you all a ton of love. We're going to jump into creating awareness next week. If you need anything, let me know. I'll see you in the Facebook group. Have a wonderful rest of your day. Bye.
Thank you.